That was not the right reaction.
I am not feeling supported.
Okay.
That was a trust fall and I fell.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your playing with my hose, taking cocktails on walks. I just got new glasses, friend.
What does your playing with my hose mean?
Like the water thing in the backyard.
Oh, playing your friend who is playing with her hose.
I'm the friend who likes to play with her hose.
I thought it was like a game called, hey, you're playing with my hose.
No,
and I didn't
know
what it was. Okay.
Not my friends who are sexually promiscuous, like the water hose.
Okay, gotcha. And I'm Bethany, your melatonin taking, social media avoiding, the lodge watching friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about...
So you're a Victorian. Here's how you may have accidentally blown yourself up and other ways you may have accidentally died.
Did the Victorian people die in very strange and uncertain ways?
Constantly. They were constantly accidentally dying from all sorts of ways. Some of them tragic, some of them stupid, some of them not their fault, some of them very their fault. And I'm going to give you a whole slew of reasons that if you were alive in the Victorian era, you may have accidentally blown yourself up.
You know what? It could happen to any one of us.
Yeah, really. And what about you, Kathleen? What are we talking about this week? Playing with your hose?
Yeah, playing with my hose. I am talking about the ridiculous things that I do that make me feel fancy, even when they are absolutely not fancy.
This is wonderful. We all need to feel a little bit fancy right now. Things are real serious. So every once in a while...
I'll tell you why I came about this topic is because I'm very excited. There's a social distancing farmer's market going on in Hoboken.
Of course
on the weekends, right? Okay. Or like on Tuesdays too, whatever. So I woke up on Saturday morning and I was like, bah, 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 bah. I'm going to be productive today. I'm going to be a worthwhile human. Let me go to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And so I get to the farmer's market and I'm like, I'm only going to buy things that make me feel fancy. So I got, and I don't even know what to do with them. I got Swiss chard.
Okay, like, and is chard, is that an onion?
Chard. Bethany, I don't even know how to pronounce it. All I know is that it's colorful, looks like the rainbow, and it sort of looks like celery a little bit. I have no idea how to cook it, all right?
Okay.
I got some rhubarb.
Love rhubarb.
Yeah, but what do you do with it other than like make a pie?
Pie.
Yeah,
no,
but I don't.
Jam?
I don't. Jam. Maybe I'll make some jam. Yeah.
Jam. Part of it is poisonous, but I don't know which part.
Great. Great. I'm just trying to feel fancy and I bought freaking poison, all right? And then I bought farm fresh eggs, which I actually do know how to cook.
That's great. Farm
fresh eggs make me feel so fancy, even though it's just like I bought eggs.
Yeah. No, but you bought farm fresh ones. It's those sizzle words that really make the food pop.
Mm, yeah.
And my weekend was also eventful. I now that it's hot out and I'm trying to be better at dressing for the weather that we are having, not the weather that I wish we were having. And so for me, as a sweaty one, I need cotton and I need linen. And I don't own a lot of cotton or linen because most women's clothing, even the stuff that looks like it's made of cotton or linen, is often made with polyester. That traps heat like a grody. So I'm trying to find black clothing online that is both cute and also made of cotton or linen. And that's real hard to find because most of that stuff is boxy.
Mm-hmm.
It's shapeless, boxy, like tunics. You look like a middle school art teacher. Like I look like I should be wearing big, big wooden beads on a long necklace.
One of my favorite necklaces is big wooden beads, Bethany, so step back.
Okay, but are you wearing it with like a shapeless tunic and also like your glasses hanging from the same wooden bead necklace?
You know, I am now officially in my early to mid 30s, so there's a great possibility that I am.
No shame in it. I just, it's not my aesthetic for me.
The first brand that came to mind is Ellen Fisher. Are you familiar with Ellen Fisher?
I bought an Ellen Fisher pair of pants off of eBay and they don't fit me.
Oh.
They're too boxy and too, it's just, I'm at sixes and sevens. It's just a whole thing.
No, I hear you. It was hot. And this is a good time to use our platform to PSA everyone. Wear sunscreen. Please wear sunscreen.
Yeah.
It's sunscreen season.
To our companies who are making wonderful garments for women made of cotton and linen, can you please add black as an optional color? Because I'm looking, for example, Kathleen, this is a company you turned me on to 1 year for Jingle Ball. It's Boden.
Oh, yeah. I love Boden.
Yeah, of course you love Boden, because Boden is all about sundresses and like shirt dresses in blue floral, pink floral, marigold floral.
Ooh, I love a marigold.
Yeah. Rust polka dots, blue polka dots. Here is a tunic in every patterned color, bright green, bright blue, bright pink, bright blue, bright orange, bright blue, and then no black. There's nothing for me in this.
Mm. Yes, I see what you mean.
So that's why I was having a weekend.
I see what you mean. Maybe check out Madewell, Bethany, or
Maybe. Aren't they in foreclosure or something? No, I don't trust a company that's in foreclosure.
Listen, foreclosure nowadays don't mean shit, okay? It's like when you have a PR nightmare and then you hire a team to rebuild your personal brand. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to make a comeback. J. Crew will also be fine.
Totally. So, by the way, Kathleen, over the weekend, you went to a march, didn't you? Did you go to a Black Lives Matter march?
I did, yeah. I went to a Black Lives Matter march in Hoboken, and it was pretty incredible, and it was really peaceful, and it was very uplifting, and I got to hear some personal stories of personal people in my community about how racism has affected them in a place where I didn't think there was that much racism. I was like, oh, in Hoboken, we're all pretty open-minded. There isn't that much racism. Turns out I was gravely wrong.
Yeah.
And I had a really excellent time marching and chanting, and it was very uplifting. Did you do any marching or anything this weekend, Bethany?
No, I haven't done any marching. I'm still nervous. Re-COVID, but it's something I definitely want to do. But I did spend a lot of the weekend. I took time off of social media because it was a lot of people yelling at each other. And Kathleen, you and I are on a listserv, and that also turned into a lot of people yelling at each other. Yeah. So so I just did a lot of like thinking and talking with people in my life about, you know, books I need to be reading. And a lot of those books are on back order right now, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. But Bethany, you know, if you had a Kindle, you could read it electronically.
Yeah, no, you're right. I may end up investing. But yeah, no, it was a weekend of a lot of like looking at myself and introspection, which I think is what a lot of us need to do.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you haven't yet, listen to our episode from last week. And a lot of work went into that, a lot of love. We need to thank all of the guests we had on the show. We need to thank our editor, Charlotte. She put in a lot of overtime on that episode for us. So
yeah,
it's a good conversation.
And all of the lovely notes that we received from everybody who listened. We didn't really advertise it. I am going to post something about it today because last week there was a lot going on, and I think Bethany, you and I both felt like we just wanted to release the episode, let it exist in the universe and not make a big deal out of it. But I will put it on our socials today. But thank you to everybody who wrote us really sweet notes about it.
Yeah. And it also came out the same day as George Floyd's memorial in Minneapolis. So we didn't want to promote our own podcast while obviously, you know, this bigger event was going on that was a little bit more important to the conversation.
On a lighter note, Bethany.
Yeah.
I know it's very exciting that like COVID numbers are getting better in a lot of states and restaurants and places are going to start opening up again. The one thing I'm really going to miss in my neighborhood is that bars have been selling to-go cocktails. I've been going for walks with my friends and we meet up and then we go grab a cocktail and then we continue on our walk. And it's the best. It's like so, so, so fun.
So, I mean, Hoboken is pretty much one big open container anyway.
Yeah.
But like, are the open container laws different now? Are people just kind of turning an eye away from people walking around with their cocktails on the street?
I think the police are kind of just turn around, you know, when they see people with open containers. There hasn't been a lot of malarkey. It only takes one person to mess this up, like mess up a good thing that we've got going. But my friend Amanda and I were out for a walk and we went back to my stoop. We had these giant things of margaritas and man, after it really messed me up. I was asleep by 7:30 then. But
I'm so proud of you.
We sat on my stoop and we were just chatting and drinking, and my husband came down from the apartment with his beer, and we were just chatting with people walking by, and that would never happen in a world where we couldn't drink openly. And we like met this neighbor named Matt and his dog Beatrice, and Beatrice snuggled with everybody, and it was just like,
what kind of doge was Beatrice?
Beatrice was a pug. Beatrice was a fat little pug.
Baby. Baby. Yeah, sometimes booze be bringing people together, and that's nice.
Oh, Bethany, talk about your movie, please.
Oh, yeah. So thank you to everybody that tuned in. It premiered on Friday night online. The whole festival's online now for obvious reasons. And we did an online premiere, and then we did a Zoom filmmaker Q&A at the end. And so many taste buds and friends of mine bought tickets and watched the film online. And we got so many loving comments and great feedback. If you want to watch the film, the next time you can watch it is June 10th. And it is, I believe the tickets are $10. And you can watch the whole block of films, or you can just watch Lonely Hearts. And the link is just in my bios on my social media. So either my Twitter, Radio Bethany, or my Instagram, Ms. Bethany Watson. Just click the link in my bio. It'll take you to buy those tickets for June 10th.
Yeah. You know what, Bethany? I'm going to organize a viewing party for our taste buds, and I'll put out an official invitation with all the information on our socials.
That would be amazing. Thank you. You were so, so proud of this film, and we're really excited about it. We're just hoping for more. And then if you do, for some reason, miss June 10th, we are also in another film festival out of Portland that is coming up as well, that will also be online. So there'll be more opportunities to see it.
So cool. I'm so proud of you and Dennis, Bethany. It's such a huge accomplishment. And like, not that many people can be like, oh yeah, NBD, I made my own movie and I starred in it.
You know what? It's a lot more work than it seems like it would be. I'm learning. but we're really pleased with it. We want people to see it. So hopefully, Art of Brooklyn. Support them. We love them.
I'm going to ask you to do something that we don't usually do in section one of our podcast. Can you remind us to take a deep breath right now, Bethany?
Yeah, I feel like
we all need it.
Yeah. This is your weekly reminder, number one, to take a deep breath.
All right, taste buds, let's get into it. Bethany, we've both been hiking a lot lately, and the one thing I'm telling you that makes a huge difference in walking long distances and not having problems with your feet is socks that fit, quality socks.
You know, so much of the focus is on shoes, but man, your socks can be a game changer, and that is why Kathleen and I love Features.
Yes. Features has solely focused on engineering innovative, high-performance socks for almost 20 years.
I love them because they have multiple cushion levels. So if you're someone who has really sensitive feet, you can get max cushioning for unsurpassed performance. Or if you don't want a ton of cushioning, you can get ultra light and everything in between. Plus, they have this targeted compression in the sock. It acts like a hug around the arch of your foot. Keeps your socks in place. It prevents your socks from bunching and slipping and sliding. They're awesome.
Yeah. And their anatomical design conforms to the left foot and the right foot. Like, when was the last time you even thought about that? Having socks that are good for the right foot and good for the left foot.
Right?
Never. But not with Features. And that is why when I went hiking just a few weeks ago, I didn't get one single blister. So see why Features has quickly become the number one running sock in America. And for Acquired Taste listeners, you can receive $10 off of your first pair of Features by going to features.com and use our code TASTE.
That's $10 off your first pair when you go to Features, that's FEETURES.com, like feet, features.com, and then enter the promo code TASTE at checkout.
Oh my God, that's so clever. I didn't even realize that.
Again, that's Features, FEETURES.com, and use the code TASTE to get $10 off your first pair of Features. Kathleen.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, you live in the Victorian era.
Ooh, thank you.
You're very welcome. Here is how you may have accidentally died.
Mm-hmm.
So, my main source and the way that I got the idea for this is from this amazing series called Absolute History. It's hosted by a woman named Susanna Lipscomb. This one is called Unbelievable Ways the Victorians Caused Their Own Deaths. And this isn't just like a generic YouTube video. This is a legit production. She's in a Victorian home. She's touching wallpaper. She's wearing corsets. She goes through all of this. And it's on YouTube. So all of those links are in the show notes. I also got notes from Mental Floss and from the BBC.
So basically, it's your dream job that somebody else took already.
Yeah. No, abso-freaking-lutely. Okay. So number one.
Yeah.
You may have died via wallpaper. One thing to keep in mind about the Victorian era is that
wallpaper?
Yeah. So gaslighting was now a thing, which means that your home could be illuminated in all of the corners. So wallpaper was incredibly popular, and the bolder colors, the better.
Legitimate gaslighting, not like when someone is blowing smoke up your ass.
legitimate gaslighting, like lights coming from gas. So it was really popular to have bold prints of this beautiful multicolored wallpaper to show off how well you were doing in life. One of the most popular colors was this bright green. It was like a like a kind of an emerald green, maybe a little lighter, and it was called Scheele's green, named after the person who invented it. So Scheele's green was really popular because it didn't fade. It was bright and vibrant, so it was used in wallpaper, it was used in clothing, it was used in hats and upholstery, cravats. It was everywhere. So the problem is that this gorgeous, vibrant shade of green that did not fade was achieved using arsenic.
Ooh, so, poison alert. Hello.
Poison. But Victorians knew that arsenic was poisonous if you ate it, but they assumed it was safe as a pigment. Except it was not. So people would touch wallpaper. Children would lick wallpaper.
Why?
Because they're children. I don't know, Kathleen. Children are dumb. They lick and put everything in their mouths. They used it to color paint that children had on their toys, which also had lead in it, by the way. And one of the biggest problems, too, is that the symptoms of arsenic poisoning, especially if it's slow and over time, are often very similar as the symptoms of cholera, which was a really big illness that was going around. So people were getting treated for the wrong thing. Or the doctors would say, go to the sea, take some air, and they would get better because they weren't in their homes anymore. They would go back to their homes, arsenic.
What is cholera exactly? Cholera. Is that when you don't have enough oranges?
No, I think that's scurvy.
Oh, yeah. Cholera.
Cholera, I'm hitting the googs.
You don't have enough collared shirts in your closet. That's what cholera is.
Dude, bros never get cholera. Diarrhea, dehydration. It's an infectious disease.
Sounds like a night of drinking.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah, it's caused by eating food or drinking water contaminated with a bacteria. Ooh. So yeah, you don't want it. Another problem was that because it was so smoggy, especially like in London, that people would keep their windows closed, which would mean that the house would get very damp. Well, the dampness would seep into the wallpaper and sort of cause this arsenic flakes to come off the walls. And so people would be breathing it in. It was just a hot mess. So people were just dying left and right because of arsenic.
Poisonous wall dandruff is what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And the best part of this YouTube show was that this guy teaching the host about this wallpaper, he had a little book, like a stack of wallpaper samples. And he opens the one that's Scheele's green. And she like reaches out and she's kind of touching it and rubbing it. And she goes, is there arsenic in this now? And he was like, yeah. And she goes, is it dangerous for me to be touching? He's like, yeah. And it's like, dude, could you have told her to not touch it, maybe?
Better television.
I know, exactly.
That's like reality producers. Like, is this a bad decision for me to be making? Yes. Do we want you to do it anyway? Yes.
Yeah. It's like, hey, Susanna, you should touch it. You should rub it and then lick your fingers. Makes for good YouTubing.
Give her a rose. Give her a rose. Even though you don't like her.
The next way that you might die, Kathleen... corsets. So corsets make it tough to breathe. Yes, you can faint a lot, but corsets became super deadly when the metal grommet was brought into corsets. The metal grommet that, you know, is around your shoelace holes in your shoes, it ushered in something called tight lacing. So normally, if your corset is just made out of fabric and, you know, whalebone steel, you can't pull the laces too tight because it will tear the fabric. But when metal grommets came in, you laced it all through, the metal held the fabric, and you could tighten that mother as tight as you possibly could, and the fabric wouldn't tear. So women started tight lacing.
Do you remember how miserable Rose was in Titanic?
Miserable.
When her mother tight laced her, you know, so she could go to dinner and look skinny? Ugh, woof is right.
Yeah, and advertisers would draw the ideal woman because there's no way that actual women could look that way, but you can draw a woman however you want. And so they would draw these women with super teeny waists. And there are cases of ribs breaking and piercing the lungs.
What?
Yeah. If you're a girl with rickets, which is like soft bones, like vitamin deficiencies, a corset could literally change a girl's skeletal structure. It was pushing your organs all over the place. Tight lacing could kill you.
Just to look a certain way. But think about all the dumb shit people do nowadays just to look a certain way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got laser hair removal, and every time I was getting laser hair removal, it's not a comfortable process. A lot of times in certain areas of your body, it can be painful. Like, I would always think just the things we do to try and be aesthetically pleasing, it's insane. We've been doing it for years.
Shaving our legs, it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. You put a razor in your hand, then you put it to your body. It don't make no sense.
Okay, here's another way that you may have accidentally exploded yourself in the Victorian era.
Yeah.
Gas.
Oh.
Uncontrolled odorless gas. People did not realize how dangerous it was. And gas companies wanted you to believe that it was safe to have a room full of gas. They even said you could walk into a gassy room with a candle and be totally safe. But there were so many gas companies that they would try to cost cut, try to screw each other over. Yeah. So one thing some companies did was at night, they would reduce the amount of gas coming into customers' homes overnight as a way to save money. So then the gas light would suddenly go out and the family would just pass away in their sleep because gas is seeping into their home because the pilot light went out. Or heaven forbid you wake up in the middle of the night and you need a quick insomnia cigar and the pilot light has gone out. Boom. You have a middle of the night explosion.
You know, when I was probably like 8 or 9 or something in my neighborhood growing up at my parents' house, there was a gas leak in the neighborhood. And so the gas company like knocked on everybody's door and is like, hey, like, can you just come outside where there's like more fresh air? And so the whole neighborhood is just hanging out in the street while they're checking lines in people's homes and whatnot. And I remember my neighbor who was a teenager by then, he went to go light up a cigarette and I just saw like the EMTs running towards him like, no,
it's like the end of Christmas Vacation
and they smack that shit out of his hand.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I guess this is before carbon monoxide detectors in the land of Victorian gaslighting. So
you're gonna blow yourself up.
Yeah, damn.
Let's move on to central heating. So innovations were happening so fast that there really wasn't a lot of time oftentimes to test out new gadgets and devices. You just wanted to throw them on the market. So central heating was one of those. It was this really huge leap forward. You didn't have those drafty fireplaces. You didn't have open coal fires. You didn't have cold corners of the home. You had hot water being heated in a huge boiler with the steam then being run throughout your home. Yeah. But if something went wrong and a steam valve didn't open, boom, radiator explosion.
Explosion. Yep.
People's houses were just blowing up willy-nilly.
Did you grow up in a house with radiators?
I don't think so, but I have them now and they terrify me.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand
them.
And
they get so hot.
They get really hot. Yeah, they're really, really scary. And then they make creepy noises in the night.
Yeah.
In the dark.
I remember I had radiator heat growing up and it was like if you accidentally touched your leg against a radiator, forget it. 7-degree burns.
Oh, no.
7-degree burns.
Yeah, no, it's awful. Seven of them.
Yep.
Okay. Cooking stoves. If you had an old stove or a chimney took all the smoke away, things were great. Mm. But they had new gas stoves. There wasn't anywhere for the smoke to go. People suffocated. Mm. And another problem, these sealed stoves were basically giant kettles without any release. So boom, kitchen explosion.
Boom, bye.
Yeah, kitchen explosion. So then a couple other ways. Children's toys were painted with lead paint. Mm. Kids, as we previously mentioned, are dumb and put everything in their mouth.
Yeah.
Lead paint poison.
I mean, I put everything in my mouth too, so you know.
you're not supposed to, especially not
nowadays.
Yeah.
Nowadays. I mean, there's COVID on everything.
Everything's got COVID. Okay, here is a one-off death. This dude was very inventive. He was crushed by his own invention. His name is Sam Wardell. He lived in Flatbush in New York, and he was the lamplighter. He had to light the streetlights at night, and then he had to be up super early to put them out again at dawn, right? So he had, like, an awful split shift.
That's the craziest job ever, and I never, ever thought about how streetlights worked in the early days.
Yeah, Sam. He did it. So he decided to create this really amazing fail-safe alarm clock so he would never oversleep. Mm-hmm. He took a standard alarm clock and he made it like a Rube Goldberg type machine. So he connected the clock to a wire, to a catch that he fitted on a shelf in his room, and then he placed a 10-pound weight on the shelf. So when the alarm struck, the shelf fell and the stone would crash to the floor and he would wake up no problem.
Well, what kind of titanium floors did that guy have that 10-pound? What the hell?
I don't know. Okay, so it kept working perfectly. Everything was great, except he toyed with the configuration. So he had a party on Christmas Eve and he cleared his room of furniture to make space for everyone. When they left, he dragged his bed back into the room, but he didn't really pay attention to where he put the bed. So at 5 a.m. the next morning, the alarm sounded, the shelf fell, and the stone dropped straight onto Wardell's head, and he died.
I can't think of a more awful way to die.
I mean, at least you die in your sleep, and you die doing what you love, which for me is sleeping. All right. Can I tell you?
I mean, his face literally got smashed in while he was dead asleep.
Yeah, but he didn't know it hit him, literally, because he died. So. Okay, last. This person was killed as a zombie. This is actually how I want to go.
Okay.
If we're looking to go in the most dramatic way possible. Okay. So there was a funeral happening for someone who had died. All of a sudden, the lid of the coffin lifts up and the corpse begins to climb out. People freaked out. So the priest and the mourners all ran from the church. This was in a Russian village, by the way. They all run to their individual homes and they bolt their doors. However, the dead person is running, lurching after them, and gets into the house of an old woman who did not do a great job locking her house. Mm. So the priest, in the meantime, realizes what has happened. This dead corpse was actually a coma patient who had regained consciousness. However, bad for the coma patient because the peasants decided that they needed to kill the zombie. They armed themselves with guns and stakes and they decided to have an exorcism. And by the time the priest got back to the person who had woken up from the coma, the zombie had been successfully returned to the casket, dead on the other side. So they bravely exorcised a demon who was actually just a person who had woken up from a coma.
Holy
so
shit.
That's the time when you don't want to be brave. Do you want to let science do what science is going to do? So after they fully exorcised the zombie, they threw it in a marsh.
People who are in comas are still breathing. Like, didn't they see his diaphragm moving in and out?
I mean, sometimes like your breathing slows down so much and they didn't have a ton of the best ways to test. The use of a stethoscope didn't happen until later to really test if someone was breathing or you could hear a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. There were some more bizarre ways. Wait, can I read you one more?
Yes, of course. These are crazy.
Okay. This is how a man was killed by a bet, aka dude bros have always existed. So in Spain in 1879, two Frenchmen were hanging out. They decided to strike a bet to see who was more manly. Because that's what you do.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal. They're going to fast for a day, then drink 17 glasses of wine each. Mm. Then they were going to walk from Pamplona to a village that was 6 miles away in the heat of summer.
Oh.
No food, 17 glasses of wine. They're going to walk 6 miles in the heat of summer. Cool. But one person was far younger than the other person, and so they decided to handicap it. So for every year that the younger guy had over his middle-aged rival, he would carry a pound of dirt so that the older guy wasn't going to be outdone by this younger guy. They would be on even ground, right?
Okay.
So the younger guy was staggering under the extra burden of 16 pounds of dirt, and off they go 6 miles after drinking 17 glasses of wine. They hadn't gone far when the elderly man just collapsed and died, and the younger man barely won. And the reason the older guy died was because they were both stupid and decided to have a manly bet.
I mean, okay, so 5 glasses of wine in a bottle.
17 glasses. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So four or five is a bottle. Yeah.
Like 3.5. Wait, am I doing that math right? Yeah. Like 3.5 bottles.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fun Saturday night. Does not sound like a fun bet in the heat carrying weight and walking from a village to another.
When you have no food in your stomach. Like, I once went out with a girl who we went for appetizers. I got like chips and also bread because I'm Bethany, and she got like 3 asparagus spears, And she spent the rest of the night in my house throwing up all night long because she'd had no food in her stomach whatsoever. So yep. Now think about 3.25 bottles of wine. Anyway, people are stupid. They've always been stupid. They always will be stupid.
French men.
So.
Who's the French guy that was after Belle that she wanted no part of?
Gaston.
I bet one of those guys was Gaston.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure. And like didn't appreciate the brain of a beautiful woman. He just wanted her for her boobs.
I mean, who wants to drink wine without like a nice piece of cheese or a delicious baguette? Not me.
Mm-mm. So, yeah.
You know what, Bethany? I am glad you alerted me to the fact that wallpaper can kill people because I've always said when I see really terribly ugly wallpaper that I'm going to have a heart attack. And so now you've backed it all up.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Kathleen, one of the things that stresses me out the most in life, among the many things that stress me out, is figuring out what I'm going to eat for dinner.
Yeah. It's like one of those things that just sucks and it comes back every single day.
Yeah. Every 24 hours, you're stressed out again. That is why Kathleen and I love Every Plate.
Oh, I made the best easy chicken fajitas the other day. Oh my God. Nom, 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 nom.
And so many people think, and I thought, that if you want to have meal kits delivered to your house, you have to be a super rich superstar. You know what? You don't. Every Place dinners are the cheaper alternative to takeout or delivery, so you can experience full plates and fuller wallets with America's best value meal kit.
Are you hungry, taste bud? Philly style sloppy joes, apricot Dijon chicken legs, charred zucchini and tomato melts. Every Plate makes life so much easier.
I had the zucchini parmesan pasta. Oh, so, so good. And I'm so grateful that Every Plate did all that thinking for me. All I had to do was make the meal, and it took less than 30 minutes.
If you use our code, you're going to get a lower price point, you know, to get you started. But even at the regular price point, Every Plate is up to 58% cheaper than other major meal kits out there.
So enjoy your first week of Every Plate meals for only $3.99 per meal by going to everyplate.com and then using the code TASTE1.
Again, enjoy your first week of Every Plate meals for only $3.99 per meal by going to everyplate.com and then use our code TASTE, TASTE, and then the number one.
So one of my gifts to my mom for Mother's Day was Storyworth. And now I'm going to be giving it to my dad for Father's Day because dads are even tougher to shop for than moms, I found. And Storyworth is the perfect present, not only for now, but for the future.
So Storyworth is a really fun and easy gift to engage with your loved ones. Like Bethany gave it to her mom for Mother's Day. I gave it to my mom for Mother's Day. What Storyworth does is it emails a really fun or sort of like life heartfelt question to your loved one every week for a whole year. And then at the end of the year, it makes a book with your loved one's beautiful answers. And these are words that you never would have gotten to know from your loved one had you not signed up for Storyworth.
So they email you the answer too. So whenever your family member writes out their answer, you get a copy of it and you get to see it. I am learning things about my mom I had no idea. I'm learning about nicknames my mom had that I didn't realize. I'm learning about pets she had growing up. I'm learning about these little stories that she didn't think were a big enough deal to tell us, but they're so interesting and I never would have learned about them without Storyworth. So give your dad the most meaningful gift this year with Storyworth. Get started right away without the need for shipping by going to storyworth.com/taste.
You'll get $10 off of your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/taste for $10 off. All right, Bethany.
Yes.
I realized, like I said before, when I was at the farmer's market this weekend, there are some really ridiculous things that I do purely to make myself feel fancy. That's all.
Life is too short to not feel fancy as much as possible. Loki, the black cat in my family, often lays with his paws neatly crossed in front of him. And depending on his posture, we rate him as medium fancy, low fancy, or very high fancy, very fancy. So Loki is usually medium fancy.
Cats with their paws crossed right in front of them, like they're English sires or something, is very much like a baby who like is chilling.
Like with like their like, fist to their head.
Like a tiny little baby who can't even sit up yet, but all of a sudden you catch them just like resting their head on their hand like they're straight chilling. which is one of my favorite phenomenons in life.
Babies, they're just like us.
They're just like us. Okay, so ridiculous things that I do to make myself feel fancy.
Okay.
Referring to a roll as a baguette.
Yes. Like, yes.
No matter what shape the bread is in, whether it's a true baguette or not, I say, sir, can I have one of your finest baguettes?
Now, do they give you weird looks ever?
Yeah.
Of
course, especially because I'm walking into the Italian deli asking for a baguette. They're like, wrong word, wrong nationality. Get out of here.
What makes a baguette truly a baguette? Are there dimensions it needs to hit?
I think the way the top is folded, like the way that the bread is twisted at the top.
Oh,
maybe.
I'm going to look
not
up
sure.
The proper definition of baguette, because I also do enjoy a baguette.
Yeah. And just referring to any type of bread, like the whole wheat bread that we buy in the bag, I say to my husband, please, will you pass me a piece of baguette?
A long, narrow loaf of French bread or a diamond.
Oh,
but why does it have to be French?
Yeah, I don't know. Just all bread, referring to all bread as baguettes.
I'm pro this.
I think if you need to feel a little bit fancy, that's what everyone should do. Also, purchasing drinks in glass bottles.
Oh, yes.
You know when you're at a cafe and you like order a sandwich or a salad or whatever at the counter, and then you're like, okay, and then I'm going to grab a drink, and you go to the refrigerator and you open up and there's the cans and the plastic bottles, and then there's a section with the glass bottles.
Yeah, like the Stewart's or the old-timey Coke.
Or the Orangina.
And if you are hashtag blessed enough to get one of those spiral straws, one of them paper red white spiral straws, you are a 1950s beautiful human on your first date on your way to the sock hop.
Or cans of San Pellegrino, where they have like that special paper foil thing at the top before you like you have to take it off and then you can open the can.
Yep.
So, or Altoids. Altoids make me feel so fancy.
Because they're in a tin. Mm-hmm. You know what? I just bought this solid cologne at my local hardware store. Shout out to Garber Hardware. It is Duke Cannon Man Supply Company. And it is solid cologne in the scent of air. And it comes in a tin.
The scent is air?
Air, yeah. They have air, sea, land. And then there's one that's called like
fire.
Like man or something. And it just smells like a brute pheromone, and I just shoved my nose in it.
That's like a candle being scented candle. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. I don't own Duke Cannon. Duke Cannon, man supplies.
Yes, it's the tins. Like, I take my mint in a tin. How do you take your mint?
Yeah. And I do this test too. If you hand someone an Altoid, if you have an Altoid tin and you hold the tin out to them, they will immediately become fancy when they take the Altoid out of the tin. Doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah. Fancy fingers.
Yeah.
All fingers up except for like, you know, it's like when you're drinking tea and you want to look like you're British, you know, all fingers up except they grab a single mint.
Yeah.
Also, eating anything considered a superfood makes me feel fancy.
Ooh, what's your latest favorite superfood, Kathleen?
Hemp hearts. I love hemp hearts.
What the hell are those?
Yeah, it's like, it's a superfood, Bethany. You gotta look it up. It comes from the hemp plant, I believe.
What is the hemp plant?
But like kale, hemp hearts, acai powder, cacao nibs, quinoa. Ooh, dark chocolate.
I once had a really bad interaction with my antidepressant and a cold medicine, and I walked to my local greengrocer and I bought a pound of cacao nibs, and then I ate them and fell asleep in my car.
Oh my God. But cacao nibs don't have any sugar in them. They're just like bitter.
I ate a pound of them. The only way I know is because I woke up and there was a pound of cacao nibs bag next to me and it was empty. Hemp hearts are hulled hemp seeds, apparently.
Yeah, they're like hemp seeds. Yeah. Also, dark chocolate makes me feel fancy. So if like someone's over and they're like, oh, you know what I would kill for? Just a nip of chocolate. Mm-hmm. I go into my kitchen. I'm like, is 85% okay with you? Like, that's all we carry. That's all we buy here.
And you have to be the kind of a-hole who's like, you know what? Sugar's a little too sweet for me. I prefer a little bit darker.
Yeah. Like, in this house, we only buy dark chocolate at like 1,010%. Is that okay with you? Have you ever had it that dark before? Do you think you can handle it?
Would you like it with a snifter of port? The combination is really lovely on your palate.
Using coconut oil as lotion makes me feel so fancy.
And it works.
Like, oh, you know, I'm just so low maintenance and so chill and cool and fancy that I don't use regular lotion. I use coconut oil.
You're like Gwyneth Paltrow. Where do you put it? Do you use it all over your body?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even on your face?
Sometimes, yeah, in my neck, my tatas, my stomach, my butt, in between my legs, you know? Sometimes you just, yeah.
I once told, I was getting a facial and my esthetician, you know, was grilling me on what I used. And I said, I've started using coconut oil as my moisturizer at night. And she went, ooh, that's a very large molecule. And she didn't say anything else. And I immediately felt insecure and judged.
What does that even mean? What does it mean?
I don't know. But she stopped doing everything she was doing. She was like, you know, pulling my hair back into a ponytail and adjusting the mister. And she stopped everything she was doing. And it got real quiet. And the Enya music even screeched to a stop. And she was like, ooh, that's a very large molecule. And then she just kept going.
I don't understand.
I don't know.
Lotion has molecules? I thought molecules were only in things that are alive. I don't.
Everything has molecules. Molecules are the building blocks of life. It's either that or atoms. But I think atoms create molecules.
Or electrons, right?
Those are part of an atom.
Or, okay.
Yeah, they're the parts that fly around, so like your hyper cousin.
Where does the mitochondrion come in? Like, isn't that that's a cell, right? That's a type of... the type of cell.
Seventh grade is when that comes in.
What about the macros? I know people eat those. The
macrobiotics.
Macros.
Yeah. It's a wider lens of the world.
Speaking of things people eat, when I'm out and I order tartare, I feel so fancy.
Okay. I also don't know what tartare is. I know it comes in. It's meat, right?
It's usually raw, but then sometimes restaurants who think that they're being extra fancy are like watermelon tartare. And it's just... It's just very thinly sliced watermelon. But no matter what it is, I mean, Bethany, it could be human tartare. And if it's on the menu, I'm ordering it because it makes me feel fancy.
So it's just like a thin slice of whatever it is you're having.
Yeah, usually steak tartare. It's like very thin, raw sliced steak. Also, basically ordering anything that's raw or uncooked, which is just lazy on the part of the restaurant. It's like you didn't even have to cook
it. Absolutely. Like they didn't have enough, they did poor planning and they didn't have enough stove space.
Exactly. Like oysters. When I order oysters because they're not cooked, they're raw. I feel so fancy. So fancy.
Can oysters ever be cooked?
Sure.
I've never heard of someone cooking an oyster.
Like oyster sauce or fried oysters. Fried oysters are popular in New Orleans.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like, you know, sometimes people, you know, I guess you can get like clam pasta. I think oyster pasta is a thing, right? No?
Oh, that all just sounds awful.
Bethany, come over and we'll share a clam pie, pizza pie.
Oh, God. It sounds like a euphemism. Like, if I wanted to swallow a tongue, I would swallow someone else's tongue. I'm not looking to just shove a tongue in my mouth and eat it. That is what an oyster is.
Clams?
I've had one.
An oyster, they're like salty. I mean, oysters, depending on where they came from, ocean, freshwater, and like certain bodies of freshwater can be salty, can be sweet. It's really, Bethany, there's a world of oysters out there that you don't know that you're missing out on.
I'm happy for them, but it's the consistency is just of like when someone French kisses you but just lays their tongue in your mouth. That's what an oyster is. That's what it is. That's what it is.
How many Frenchmen are you kissing?
Well, I mean, but we've all had that experience in college where like the hot guy is like an awful kisser and no one will tell him because he's hot. And then you kiss him and you're like, oh, but I'm not going to tell you because you're hot.
I'm incredibly dense. You meant when someone French kisses you, like the style of kissing. And I thought that you meant when someone from the region of France
kisses you. Everyone in France is an awful kisser, is what you think I said.
Getting text message reminders for doctor's appointments and for packages makes me feel so
fancy.
Yes,
like it's your own personal, like, what's the word?
Just like assistant, like a personal assistant.
Yeah.
Here's a reminder. You have a therapist appointment coming up. And it's like, oh my God, technology is making me a fancier human.
They really should name the new virtual assistant whenever there is one. Just name them concierge. So you can just be like, concierge, what time is my spa treatment for my toes?
For my toes. UPS or FedEx is often like, we just left a package on your doorstep. Why? Thank you, FedEx.
Thank you
for that text message.
Aw, thank you.
Also, drinking random drinks out of wine glasses or champagne flutes, like whether it's milk or, I don't know, soda.
Got to.
Put that shit in a champagne coupe and you're like, I'm the fanciest person ever.
Champagne coupe.
Yeah. Drink your smoothie from a wine glass and tell me you don't feel like the Queen of England.
Oh, again, you just hold it differently.
here's my smoothie. I'm just gonna swirl my smoothie, smell the tannins coming out of my smoothie glass.
And if you put it in a bourbon glass, you automatically feel like you're unwinding from a really hard day at the ad agency.
Tying a scarf onto the handle of my purse makes me feel so fancy.
Yes. I don't even have anything to add. I just love it.
I was waiting for something to come.
I got nothing. I just agree fully.
Carrie Bradshaw started doing this like in the late 90s on Sex and the City. I know, Bethany, you do it all the time, but it just makes me, it feels like I'm jazzing up my purse. I'm so fancy.
And one of the reasons that I do it, my most recent purse, is because I got it vintage. And so it's already old. It's like fake leather. And so it's starting to peel off from the strap. And so the strap was digging into my arm and causing a lot of problems. So I just wrapped a scarf around the part of the strap that had the leather gone, and works like a charm.
Amazing. Also, something else that makes me feel really fancy that's really not. When I'm shopping in a nice store and I ask the sales assistant how much something costs, and then she tells me, and it's literally so out of my price range that my brain explodes, but then I still act like I'm considering buying it.
I do that too.
You're like, all right. Like, you take it into deep consideration. Like, okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
Do you ever do the thing where you know they're watching you because you clearly don't belong in this store? So you look at a price tag, but you make sure you have an empty face, and then you still like sort of pull at the garment and like lift it and turn it to see if it's worth that price. Yeah. And then ultimately decide it's not worth that price.
It's not.
This store isn't that good.
You go, And you like shrug your shoulders a little bit and then you put it back.
You know they can see right through us.
Like, I'm a millionaire. I could buy anything I want, but this garment is below my standards.
Exactly. All the time.
Or doing my hair so perfectly, and then at the last second, right before I run out of the house, I use a little texturizer to just mess it up. Like, I'm so busy and fancy that perfection is not something I ever consider.
Oh my God, yes. You know someone's really, really, really rich if they look positively disheveled. Yes. Like, I went over to, how am I going to not out this person? I was a guest to a dinner party.
Okay.
For someone who is incredibly wealthy.
Okay.
Not necessarily a name, but like their family has a lot of money. They just, whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
They came out wearing, I was wearing like the nicest thing I owned. They came out wearing black sweatpants and a black oversized t-shirt, and it had dog hair all over it. No shoes. They came out, they fell onto the couch, and they put their bare feet onto the arm of the chair next to them. And that was how they were the whole night. And I'm like, that's how you know you're rich, because you stopped trying and you don't even care.
You don't give any fucks.
Oh, zero. None of those fucks are given.
You know what would happen if I wore sweatpants and my friends came over? They would just be like, oh, Kathleen's in her regular clothes. And they're like, the rich person, you're like, oh my God, they're so rich. Look, they don't even have to impress us.
Yes. And that's what it is. They don't have to impress anyone. And so they don't. But they do, because they don't.
Something else that makes me feel really fancy, which is like so not fancy, is meeting someone for a drink in a hotel lobby. You know?
Yes.
Like, oh, meet me at the Standard. We'll have a drink in the lobby.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to have a drink in the lobby if you're not staying there?
Of course.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, of course.
I didn't know that. I thought you had to like show your room key or something.
No. And props if they have a doorman. Any building, any door that I am allowed to walk through that has a doorman, I feel like I'm a princess on the way to meet her prince.
It's very, very true. There is a Sheraton. Not like they're the height of fancy, but God, I love a Sheraton. I want to say it's near Bryant Park. Uh-huh. And because it's so hard to find public bathrooms in New York, like you start to know which ones exist and where you can go if it's an emergency.
Yeah.
And this Sheraton, the bathroom is on the second floor, but you don't need a room key to access it. So what you do is you walk in the front door and you look stressed. You don't have your luggage because you're already touring, and you just head in. You're going up to your room. You go up to the second floor. You walk through the dining room, which isn't open yet because it's the afternoon, and you go to the bathroom. You're going to pass a couple of people who work in housekeeping. You smile at them like you're a guest and you have nothing to hide, and in no way should you look nervous. Go to the bathroom and head back down. That second floor Sheraton bathroom has saved my butt so many times. And it's all about fooling the staff.
Yes, and you have to fool the staff. Or that's like when I walk into Starbucks and I'm like, huh, do I want a latte? Do you want a chai tea? Can I have your bathroom key first? And then I'll come back and order. And then you toss the bathroom key on the counter and you make a run for it because you really don't want to order anything.
I'm going to get something. But first, I just need to use the restroom.
Speaking of restrooms, something that makes me feel so fancy that I've started doing, I've been referring to my bathroom as my ensuite.
What's that word?
Ensuite.
What does that mean?
Well, it's like, you know, like on HGTV, they use this word a lot, where master bedrooms have an ensuite. It's a bathroom that's connected to the master bedroom, except now all bathrooms to me are ensuites.
I love this.
Right?
Is it spelled en-suite?
Yes, sure is.
I call my apartment my pied-a-terre, even though it's like just my only place I live. But it feels much fancier to call it my pied-a-terre.
I'm going
to
start calling my mom's house my pied-a-terre.
Yeah, it's like
my pied-a-terre in the suburbs.
It's my occasional home.
My occasional home. Making myself a cup of tea feels so damn fancy.
Really?
Like, because I don't make myself a cup of tea that often. Mm. I just feel so fancy. Like, I'm really taking care of myself. And also, I drink tea.
Mm-hmm. Tea drinkers, to me, are very fancy because I don't drink tea. Mm-hmm. If you are a tea drinker, you are automatically, to me, a higher echelon of person than I am.
Yes.
Without question.
And when you're holding your cup, you're chatting with someone, or maybe you're listening to the radio or the TV or something, and you get to pull your bag in and out. So slowly, you know, like, oh, just my tea bag. I'm just waiting for it to seep before I sip, you know. Mm-hmm. So reading a book in public makes me feel fancy. Makes me feel
very fancy.
Like I'm a lady of leisure and I just have time to read a book in public.
Totally. You are bettering yourself. You are keyed into the important things, especially for me, if it's a physical book and not out like a Kindle. Mm-hmm. You have the time to work on yourself and you are improving yourself.
Yeah. Yes. Yes,
and you have nowhere special to be because you are incredibly rich.
Yeah, exactly. Also, buying macaroons or macarons, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
First of all, macarons, macaroons, whatever. Those fancy French cookies, not the coconut ones that come in like balls.
Yeah.
They're like $3.50 a cookie. So
they're expensive.
And so if you buy a box of macarons, like you're rich. You're a rich person.
Can I say something controversial and potentially hurtful to many?
I think I know what you're going to say. I'm about to be very upset.
To me, macarons have very little flavor.
What?
Don't get me wrong. I will eat them. I'll eat it and I'll be happy about it. But if it's like raspberry flavored, it's a kind of like flavored water where it doesn't really taste like that. But you can sort of see it now that they tell you that it tastes like that. They don't taste like much to me. They're always a disappointment. I'm always disappointed by a macaron.
Have you been to the fancy ones in New York City?
Yeah.
You still don't like them?
I don't understand them. I feel like maybe my taste buds have been sort of...
We can't be friends.
...harshed by something or other. Maybe Splenda. I can't taste... I can't taste them.
You can't taste fine sugars anymore. You can only taste fake sugar.
Yeah, I think maybe that's what it is. Because I don't taste the delicate flavors of a lavender macaron anymore. I need like Smuckers. Give me a spoonful of Smuckers.
You're allowed to have your opinions, Bethany. Whatever.
Thank you.
Whatever.
Again, don't get me wrong. I'm going to eat the hell out of every macaron someone gives me. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to dip it in Smuckers.
Won't bring those for dessert at your house anymore. Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
I've been sleeping so much better now that I put my new Etude duvet on my bed. Man, it's like moisture wicking. It feels so good. It's so soft. I'd previously heard about sustainable bamboo bedding. When I finally got my Etude duvet in the mail, I was like, wow, people are onto something.
So I went through a panda phase growing up, and it's my family knew that in my panda phase, I was very sensitive, and they couldn't tell me much because it would upset me. So I just think of bamboo as the food that my favorite animal, the panda, ate. But it turns out bamboo is changing the world. Premium bamboo bedding by Etude is 100% organic. It's designed to bring comfort both to you and the earth. It's soft. It's breathable. So if you're a sweaty monster like me, it helps improve your sleep quality because it regulates your temperature.
It's also antimicrobial and hypoallergenic. These sheets are proven to kill 99% of microorganisms. So why not try Etude? These amazing sheets have a 30-day risk-free trial. If you're not fully satisfied, you can return your sheets for a full refund. They even cover shipping on returns.
Etude's clean bamboo bedding is 100% organic, vegan, and made without harsh chemicals. It's also water-saving, which makes it more planet-friendly.
Etude sheets, they're soft as silk, breathable as linen, but at the price of cotton. You're going to love them. I love them so much.
And right now, our listeners will get 20% off of their sheet set and free shipping. All you have to do is text the word TASTE to 64,000.
The only way to get 20% off of your set of Etude sheets and free shipping is to text TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, to 64,000. That's TASTE to 64,000.
Okay, so I went to the bathroom and something broke my brain when I was in the bathroom, and I need you to help me. This is really stupid, Kathleen. But I just also...
In the bathroom? You broke your brain. Okay.
I broke it just because I was thinking. But okay. So when I took my ACTs, the lowest score I got was on the section about... like space and like movement within space.
Physics. I think the word you're looking for is physics.
It wasn't even physics. It was just like, you know, 3D, like the ability to picture 3D things in your head and where those things
geometry?
Are.
Geometry? I didn't take the ACT. I think where you're from, the region that you're from, they take the ACTs. I took the SATs.
Yeah, we didn't do SATs. We did, yeah, because I'm from the Midwest.
Which was just math and writing, and that was it.
Yeah, there was one section of it that was whatever. It was just picturing things in space. Like how many, you know, if you have a cube that's 3 by 3 by 3, like how many balls of, like, how many pellets of a certain size could you fit into it? Like, I don't know, man.
It's called geometry. It's called geometry.
Whatever, I don't do it. So,
yeah, okay.
As such, I'm also terrible at directions. So I was just thinking about, you know, being fancy, and like, I often refer to my home by its wings. Even though it's just a small apartment, I'll figure out where it orients. And then, like, you know, if the front is north facing, I'll call that the north wing. You know, the west wing is maybe where the bathroom is, that kind of thing.
And the president.
Right, right. It makes me feel fancy. But then I was thinking, okay, so let's say my windows in my living room face north. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, across the street is another apartment building, and their windows face me.
Yeah. Their windows
also face north?
Nope, they're south facing.
But we are seeing the same sun.
Okay.
And also, because let's say, okay, so in Manhattan, there's the West Side Highway, right? It's on the Hudson River. Mm-hmm. That's west. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's say that's to your left. If you're standing in your living room faces north.
Yeah.
The West Side Highway is to your left.
Yeah.
Now.
So you have northwest facing windows. You can see light coming from the west. You can see light coming from the north. The people across the street have southwest facing windows. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but okay, but then don't they say, but we're facing the same river?
Yes, because the river's west, so you're both west.
Fuck. Okay, question. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. But then, you know, south-facing windows are supposed to be very coveted for the light they give to plants.
I mean, you tell me. I don't know.
I think I heard that. My sister said it once, and I took it as the truth.
Well, I think, like, afternoon light is what people like, and so south-facing gets better light in the afternoon, question mark?
Sure, but if they're across the street, the light that my north-facing windows is seeing is the same as the light that their covetous south-facing windows is seeing.
No, that's not true. That's not true. You get more light at one point, and they get more light at one point as the sun travels. I'm telling you. Because also, you're not on a perfect grid, so just, I, Bethany, these are one of these things that we just, we absolutely cannot think too hard about. Things like, why does Leonardo DiCaprio keep dating such hot girls even though he's not that super hot anymore? And yeah. also, why does some chocolate ice cream taste amazing and other chocolate ice cream tastes like poo-poo? There's just, there's some things in this world that we can't think too hard about. And I think that this is one of them.
Is that a stupid question? I know no, it was a stupid
it's
question.
Not. No, Bethany,
but I think
it's not.
I'm like, it's just the idea of two people looking at the exact same thing, but one is technically north and one is technically south, even though they're at the same spot.
It's going to be different. It's always going to look different from your side, from their side. I mean, then if you really want to get into, you know, the nitty gritty, the quality of the glass in your buildings versus the quality of the glass in their buildings. Like,
well, that's just a whole nother thing.
How much light can their eyes take in? How much light can your eyes take in? It might be the same view, but it's never going to look the same to every person. And that is why we're all individuals.
I know a dude who's colorblind. First dude I ever met who was actually colorblind.
I have a friend who's colorblind. It blows my mind because colors are like my favorite thing. I feel really bad.
He's really sensitive about it too. If you mention the color red, he gets really touchy. Yeah. He's like, I don't know what that is. And he gets really sensitive about it.
Much like you don't know what geometry is.
I mean, I don't. It really took me much longer to go to the bathroom than I had intended because I was sitting thinking really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I
understand. Listen, do you know the creature on this world that can see the most colors is a shrimp?
Really?
There's a special kind of shrimp.
How do they know? Okay. How could they? Does he put on a monocle and suddenly he speaks perfect English?
It's a mantis shrimp. And if you look up pictures of mantis shrimp, they are goddamn beautiful, Bethany. They are pieces of artwork all on their own. They're like these rainbow colored shrimp. And mantis shrimp have more cones in their eyes to see color than any other creature in this universe, or at least on the planet Earth anyway. Universe is too broad of a word. So mantis shrimp. So Bethany, no matter what you do, no matter how hard you think about this, you're never going to see the same amount of light and color as a mantis shrimp. So just accept that.
Wow, they are pieces of art.
They are. They're beautiful. Yeah.
They look like a parade float.
Speaking of seeing light, I'm very lucky that I'm able to podcast with you today and have electricity because I got a letter in the mail that says I haven't paid my gas or electric bill since February.
What? Why not? What? Why not?
I forgot. I have no better reason. I have no better reason other than I forgot. I have a medical bill that I've been meaning to pay since 2014, and I just always forget to make that call.
Okay. First of all, it doesn't automatically pay from your whatever account?
No, I don't want it to automatically deduct from my checking account because I never know if I'm going to have enough money to cover
it. Fair. I did try to Venmo my therapist, and it said I didn't have enough money in my account, and I assumed that Venmo was broken and that it wasn't my fault. But it was. It was indeed my fault.
Thank you for reminding me. I also have to... I'm going to make a note right now. Venmo, doctor. Macabre. Got to Venmo my therapist too.
Don't forget to put it on private when you post that too.
I did just the description of why you're paying them. Problems.
Generalized anxiety disorder.
Can you tell us a little bit about the movie or the TV show that you used?
Kathleen, The Lodge.
The Lodge.
The Lodge. Okay. Or as I've been calling it, The Loge, because I call dogs doges. Okay. First of all, shout out again to the gentleman who told me about doesthedogdie.com, because I was able, as soon as they introduced a dog into the story, mm-hmm. I went to the website and the dog does indeed die. So it's good to brace yourself. So... this is an amazing, amazing motion picture that came out not too long ago. It stars Riley Keough. She is Elvis Presley's granddaughter.
Oh.
And she's a Presley.
Huh.
And it's awesome. The premise is that...
is it a movie or a series?
It's a movie. It's
okay.
A movie.
Okay.
I think it was on Shudder. It may have been on some... or maybe Hulu. It might be on Hulu. So the premise is that this father wants his two children... to spend Christmas with him and his new girlfriend in a lodge. And for various reasons, the kids are stuck there with just the girlfriend for a couple days. Mm. And that's really when the movie really takes off.
Yeah.
It is one of those slow burn dread movies. If you saw Goodnight Mommy, it's by the same filmmakers.
Ooh, I'm going to add that one to my list too. Goodnight.
Goodnight Mommy is about two other children who have a fraught relationship with a parent. Kathleen, this movie, The Lodge, is so, so good. If you're someone who escapes stress by watching horror films, this is going to be a film you really like. It makes you discuss so many wonderful, like, topics and themes, good versus bad, like who is good, who is bad. It deals with religion. It and also there's just a lot of snow, which I'm all about.
Bethany, all your favorite topics.
I know. I really, really, really loved it. So The Lodge gets like 5 stars for me.
I've been watching on Netflix this cartoon called Tuca and Bertie. Have you heard of this?
No.
Tuca, T-U-C-A, and Bertie, B-E-R-T-I-E.
Like your brother.
Yeah, like my brother. Exactly. I call him Bertie. And it's Tiffany Haddish and Ali Wong. It just got picked up for a second season, not on Netflix because Netflix canceled the first season after an amazing run. I don't know why, but whatever. Adult Swim on the Cartoon Network.
Oh.
At night.
Yeah.
It is kind of dirty, visually stunning. It's from the creators of BoJack Horseman.
Oh, great.
And it is one of the most honest depictions of female friendship.
Oh, I love this.
In a cartoon. It's just, and the whole thing is like so wacky. It's like two best friends and they live in the same apartment building. And like one of the characters in this apartment building is this like really sexy plant, like this really voluptuous plant in these like these really tight, amazing jeans. And it's just, it's so wild. All of the characters and the storylines, but the friendship between these two women is one of the most amazing things ever. And Tuca and Bertie, if cartoons are not your thing, they're usually not my thing either.
Yeah.
But I've been opening up my world of watching things because I've watched everything already.
Yeah. You hit the end of the internet.
Yeah. Netflix was like, okay, thank you for joining and subscribing. you can move on now.
Have you tried Hulu?
Yeah, right? The end of Netflix just says Finn, like a film noir.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
So Tuca and Bertie, I cannot recommend it enough.
I also need to thank you for recommending, I don't know, 5 years ago, fucking Killing Eve, because that show, speaking of really amazing depictions of women,
yeah,
the relationships between the women on the show are so wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think that for anyone who is interested in seeing like how women actually relate to each other, ironically, a movie about an assassin and an MI6 officer has some pretty realistic interactions. It's really great. And I love it so much.
It's the one show where I'm continually rooting for the killer.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
She's so good, and her skin is flawless, and
mm-hmm. And Sandra Oh, you know, Sandra Oh is her own bad bitch in her own right.
And like Sandra Oh, I think the most realistic thing about this show is Sandra Oh's constant struggle between her hair being up and her hair being down. She is always pulling it into a bun and then pulling it back out and ruffling it and trying to figure it out and then pulling it back up and mm-hmm. then pulling it back down. And it's not something she does without thinking. You can tell she's like, God, how do I look better? God, my hair's out of control. Should I wear it up or should I wear it down? It is so wonderfully realistic, yeah, and speaks very deeply to a part of me that I had never seen reflected in television before.
Yeah. So there you go, gentle listener. You've got three really solid recommendations. The Lodge, Tuca and Bertie, and Killing Eve. Honestly,
The Lodge.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned that if you have cats mm-hmm. and you want to make life a little bit more interesting for them,
I do.
Buy some rope and wrap the rope around the legs of your furniture.
Oh.
And then just, you know, use hot glue to tie it at the top or whatever. Your cats will use it as a scratching post, but it will mm-hmm. be safe because it's rope. And if it's a tall thing like a bookcase, like I have a ladder bookcase that I turned into a cat thing, they can climb it all the way to the top. Just wrap rope around stuff. And it's going to make mm-hmm. your cats real happy.
Yeah. Or ribbons that come in packages. It's free.
Oh, yeah.
It's came free. In a package.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. You know, Bethany, it's sort of funny that you say that because that's how I entertain my husband as well. A little bit of rope. Some people might call it bondage. I call it a little bit of rope.
I thought you were going to say you dangle ribbons in front of him. And I was like, yeah, well, that sounds fun. I would do that too.
I do that too.
Mm-hmm. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
Okay. This is going to sound so stupid and like, duh. But I learned that if you are going to change the color of your wall, because my mom is doing some home renovations and I've been helping her, if this is a color, like you own this house, you care about this color, right? I know because people who rent, sometimes they feel differently. They're like, whatever, I'm just going to slap color on the wall. You own your house. You want to live in this color. You want it to be amazing. You truly, truly, truly have to go to the store and get a paint sample. I didn't even realize that this was a thing. You know, you can go to Home Depot or whatever paint store you're shopping at and get a little tiny can. Did you know this, Bethany? Like, you can do this? You get a little tiny can of the color that you want.
No, I did not. I thought you... No, yeah. I did not. I thought you just had the paint chip and you, like, taped it to your wall.
No, no. You get a little tiny can. Usually costs, like, anywhere in between $3 and $10 or something. And then you can go home and paint that sample on your wall to, and then live with it for a week or 2 weeks until you're ready to paint and really see if you like it. Because I've been doing this all over my mom's house because we've been talking about all these different colors. And really, the colors that you see in the paint chip, sometimes you take it home and you put it on the wall and it looks totally different.
Yeah.
Or it's just not right. So paint samples, people. Paint samples.
Okay, but that involves thinking ahead and also being patient. And I don't like doing either of those things. I want to like paint now. And then have it done.
No.
The idea of like living with something and like not doing it all right away, I find very hard. But I honor it.
Go get samples. And then like you can look at the afternoon light, the morning light, see how, you know, the room feels at different times of the day. I'm telling you, game changer. And so it's simple. And I just like it's something I never thought of. But yeah.
No, I think it's worth it. I once painted a room. I want it to be this like light, buttery yellow. And so I just painted it this sort of Crisco marigoldy pea orange. And I never went in that room. Yeah. Like it just became a storage room that made me sad.
Yeah. This is what I'm talking about. Power of color.
Yeah.
We talked about this a couple episodes ago. Power of color.
Yeah. No, you're right. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything.
I am, as I said before, Radio Bethany on Twitter, Miss Bethany Watson on Instagram.
If you want to follow this podcast, you can do so at Acquired Podcast on Twitter,
at Acquired Taste Podcast on Instagram,
Acquired Taste Podcast on Facebook. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group. There are some truly beautiful individuals in there.
Totally. You can also send us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
And every week at the end of each podcast, we play your voicemails. And if you want to send us a text message or a voicemail or whatever floats your boat, you can do that at 917-994-0353.
You can also send us snail mail and Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030. Our show is edited by the amazing Charlotte Gartenberg. You can find her on Twitter at @chargar or on Instagram at @lit_fuck.
Ah, taste buds. We're hoping you're having a good week. We truly do. It's tough out there right now.
Yeah, and you know, we're still dealing with corona. Thank you to everybody who is continuing to work on the front lines of that. People in the healthcare industry, but also people who are working as custodians and are cleaning up and making sure that everything is safe. People who work in public transportation, who work for the city.
Yeah, because things are going to start opening up and, you know, there are going to be people who are putting themselves at risk to bring a little bit of normalization back to our lives. So we're thinking of you.
Yep. And, you know, with all of the protests that are going on in our country right now, I know that you need to sometimes shut down and take care of yourself mentally, but also dip a toe back in and really start to do some learning if that applies to you. You know, if you're somebody who has benefited from a lot of the structures that are in place in our society right now, a lot of us have some thinking and some talking, but most importantly, some listening to do. So we had a lot of resources that we put in our show notes last week. They're worth taking a look at. This is your reminder number two to take a deep breath.
Taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey, Kathleen and Bethany. It's Leah in Chicago. This is my first time leaving a voicemail, so I've got to admit that I'm feeling a little nervous. My hands are sweaty. My heart is beating, but here goes. I just wanted to say thank you so much for this podcast. I used to be a really, really avid podcast listener on my morning commute in my previous city, but I became a remote employee a few months ago when I moved, and I lost my commute time. I don't really know if it's kosher to admit that I stopped listening to this podcast to the makers of this podcast, but let me make up for it. I really, really, really missed it. Personally, it's been a little hard for me to acclimate to the new city. And I started listening to this podcast a few days ago. I missed it a lot, and I wanted to just find a way to connect in a way that, like, wasn't scrolling through my phone on my lunch hour. And I gotta say, like, it truly just lifts my mood up in every single way. So thanks so much for being my virtual friends. And also shout out to my best taste bud, Jackie, in Colorado. Jackie, you are the one who introduced me to this podcast. You make my life better. And what you've introduced me to makes my life better, too. So thanks so much, guys, and have a great day.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. It's Tammy. Just listening to their newest episode, and it's Pascagoula. That's from your Magnolia taste bud pie.
Hey, girls, it is Kirsten. I've been a fan of your podcast for a little while now. After my mom shared it to me, I really liked it, and I just wanted to say thank you for helpful advice in times, and thank you for being there for when I need to listen to you. I don't really know what to say, but I hope you guys play this or at least listen to it and know that I'm a huge fan. Bye.
Hi, ladies. I just wanted to thank you for everything that you did with You Talk, We Listen. All of your guests were absolutely fantastic and inspiring. But I do want to point out to fellow white women listeners right now, oftentimes if you were ever in a situation of domestic abuse or sexual abuse, we know, and even other women know, how difficult it is for people to believe us. In our hardest moments, we are often thought to not be fully believed. And it hit me so hard hearing so many of those stories saying, you know, people were constantly questioning me about my own experiences. And I realized I was guilty of the same thing. I would think that, like Bethany did with the example, you know, maybe there's something wrong with a resume or a cover letter or something along those lines. But we really should take time to believe people's stories. If you're a fellow educator as well, you have a duty to protect your kids. Your students are your kids, in my opinions. And as an educator, I couldn't imagine having one of my students tell me something happened to them and me not doing anything about it. We would all be up in arms ready to protect our kids to the utmost. This episode was so powerful and so eye-opening in so many ways. Thank you so much, really and truly. It's appreciated more than you know. We continue on the fight. Have a good day, y'all.